Psalm 25 and verse 6, the psalmist cries, "Remember, O Lord, thy tender mercies and thy loving kindness, for they have been ever of old. Remember not the sins of my youth." Anybody want to say amen right there? Boy, somebody said, "Well, I don't have anything in my past that's stupid or bad." Well, God bless you. Pray for the rest of us here tonight. I believe we all have some things that we don't want the Lord to ever bring up again. He said, "Lord, remember your mercy and not my goodness," is what he's saying. "Remember not the sins of my youth nor my transgression." But notice what he says. "According to thy mercy," here's my text, "remember thou me." "According to thy mercy, remember thou me for thy goodness sake, O Lord." You may be seated tonight, and from that little phrase in verse 7, where the psalmist cries, "Remember thou me," I want to preach tonight on this subject, on a God who will remember. I'm glad we serve a God tonight that has not forsaken us. I'm glad we serve a God tonight that has not failed us. And I'm glad I can report to you tonight that we serve a God that has not forgotten about you and I. He is a God who will remember. Now, the word "remember" in this text, does it mean that God has to stop and recollect a thought process? No, that's not what that means. In fact, has it ever occurred to you tonight that nothing has never occurred to God? He's never forgotten. He's never had to be taught. He's never had to learn. And he knows the end before the beginning ever gets cranked up. But the word "remember" in this passage means to favor, to grace, to think upon, to look upon, to respond to one in love and mercy when they least deserve it. Man, aren't you glad we serve a God tonight who thinks upon us, who looks upon us, who favors us. He responds to us in mercy and grace when we least deserve it. We use that word "remember" in that light all the time. I seen a fellow the other day driving a brand new vehicle. And I said, "Ma'am, that's a beautiful vehicle you got." He said, "Well, my father passed away and he remembered me in his will." Now, does that mean on the deathbed that father stopped and said, "Wait a minute, I got a son, I just remembered it"? No, that's not what that means. It means the father thought about that boy. He favored that boy. He looked upon that boy. You see, that boy didn't merit that car. He didn't earn that car. He didn't purchase that car. He didn't deserve that car. He got it because he was born into the right family. I want to say, I don't have enough money to purchase the blessings of God. I can't live good enough to merit the blessings of God. I've never done anything to deserve or merit the blessings of God. But I'm blessed tonight. I'm favored tonight. He's good to me tonight because he thought upon me and he looked upon me and he favored me. I'm glad we serve a God tonight. He'll not forget about us. He'll not turn his back on us. But in our darkest hour, he is a God who will remember. Genesis chapter 8 in verse number 1, the Bible said, "And God remembered Noah." I want to say first of all tonight, he will not forget those who are weary from the storm. Noah and his family has just come through this terrible ordeal of the flood. But God did not misplace that ark among the chaos of the judgment. God did not lose sight and God did not lose track of that precious cargo sealed on the inside of that ark. And God remembered Noah. I want to say your life may be like Noah's ark. It may be tossed to and fro in the waves of uncertainty and the winds of discouragement and despair that may be beating against her vessel. But I want to tell you, there is a God tonight standing somewhere in the shadows. He's not forgot about you. He's not turned His back on you. He's not forsaken you. He is a God who will remember. In fact, I believe tonight God was with Noah before and during and after the storm. You say, now, preacher, I don't have any problem believing He was with him during, but what do you mean before? I believe he enjoyed the presence of God before the sky ever got dark. I believe he enjoyed the presence of God before the first raindrop ever fell. You remember after Noah built that ark, and God gave those days of extended mercy, and God initiated the first invitation. God didn't say, go into the ark. He said, come thou into the ark. You say, what's this thing going and a coming? That all depends on who's on the inside initiating the invitation. And the only kind of salvation that's proclamated in this Bible is God initiative. He didn't say, go in. He said, come in. In a few moments, I'm going to leave and go back to Hampton, Georgia. And if you was to go with me to my house, and we arrived at the same time, I would be a good host, and I would open the door, and I would say, go in. But let's say about 6 o'clock in the morning, if I'm already on the inside, and you come and you're still on the outside, and you knock on my door, and I'm all, you're going to get that in a minute, and I'm already on the inside, I'm not going to open the door and say, go in. I'm going to say, come in. And when you read that word, come in, that means you step out of your world into God's world. Time out. Do you remember that night when somebody big and holy and sovereign knocked on the door of your boat and said, come unto me? God said, step out of your world into my world. You see, Noah's world was bad. Noah's world was dark. It was getting ready to be destroyed in that antediluvian flood. But God said, get out of your world and come into my world. Come on in here where I'm at. And when Noah got in there where God was, the Bible said, and the Lord shut him in. I want to tell you, I'm glad tonight. I'm in Him. I'm shut up in Him. And He's not going to forget me when I'm going through the storm. You say, preacher, do you really believe that the Lord shut that door? I sure do. You say, how did the Lord shut that door without the aid of Noah and his sons and their wives? Same way He opened up them waters down there at the Red Sea without the aid of Moses and his brother or his sister. You'll be surprised at what faith in God will do when it comes to understanding the Bible. The Lord shut that door. I believe with all my heart that was an unseen hand that came up there and closed up the door. You say, what's the big deal about God closing the door? Have you not read the book of the Revelation where it said when God shuts a door, no man can open it? That means the flood couldn't get to Noah and Noah couldn't get to the flood. You said, now wait a minute, that boat hadn't been tried and tested. It might leak a little bit. He took care of that too and pitched it within and without. Oh, isn't it amazing? That word pitch is a New Testament word, atonement. And isn't it amazing? A derivative of the word atonement is the word propitiation, pitch. Waterproofed it. Judgment proofed it. Damnation proofed it. Wrath proofed it. Son, I'm hell proof tonight. I'm judgment proof tonight. The world may go to hell, but I'm not. This thing may be really rocking itself to torment, but I'm safe on the inside with God, on the other side of a wall of propitiation. And between Noah and the flood was a wall of pitch. Honey, I don't tell you, it was kind of bad on the outside, but it's pretty good on the inside. By the way, they had everything on the inside to sustain them because they didn't need nothing but what was on the outside. And sometimes I found my life cut off from all outside help. Where the church couldn't help and the preacher couldn't help and all my friends couldn't help. And when I ran down my phone decks and run out of people to call, the Holy Ghost says, call on me. I've been shut up in here with you all the time. That's why I shut you in, boy. Woo! Hey! I just got blessed on my own preaching right there. They had everything they needed on the inside. They didn't need the outside. I'm going to tell you, that was death on the outside, but that was life on the inside. That was destruction on the outside, but that was victory on the inside. That was doom and gloom on the outside, but that was peace and joy on the inside. Hallelujah! Oh, it was bad on the outside, but it was all right on the inside. And only difference, and the only difference between the outside and the inside was that wall of pitch sealed in by God. Hey, brother, I'm not on the outside hanging on. I'm on the inside looking up. Amen. You hear me tonight? When that storm stopped and that ark came to rest, it didn't come to rest in a valley low. It didn't come to rest on a raging sea. It didn't come to rest on a hot battlefield. It didn't come to rest way down in the valley of destruction. But brother, on the other side of that storm, when that ark came to rest, the Bible said it landed high. High on the mountain of Ararat. Ararat in the Hebrew means exalted place or resurrection ground. Now, buddy, that ought to make a Presbyterian kick the back into his choir robe out. You hear me? Son, that ark goes down into the deep. That ark goes down into the billows. That ark goes down into judgment. But son, she comes to the top. And brother, when it's all said and done, it's on high ground. It's on resurrection ground. And when they came off of that ark, they were walking higher than they ever been. Now, there are Bible scholars here tonight. Brother McNeese is here. Brother Manisha's wife's here. She knows more about the Bible than all of us. We think about ordaining her one of these days. But I'm sure all you Bible scholars here tonight can tell us about that ark. You know, how long it is and how wide it is and how high it is. And there may be somebody here tonight with enough knowledge that you could even compute and tell us how much it weighed. Now, I'm just going to say, it's a bigger one. It's a bigger one. And what I'm trying to find out, without a crane or a diesel plane or a diesel truck, how did they get that big old boat way up on that mountain? They didn't have no diesel, no hydrodynamics. Al Gore hadn't even invented the internet yet, man. How? You'll get that after a while. How in the world did they get such a heavy object high on that mountain? The storm put it there. Woo! That storm put it there. The very thing that most people feared was nothing more than a puppet in the hand of God to put that boat on high ground. Woo! I just feel like I need to tell some child of God, that malady you're in, that affliction you're in, that trouble you're having, that storm you're going through, it's not going to destroy you. It's not going to kill you. It's not going to be the end of you. It's nothing more than a puppet in the hands of a holy God. And God's going to use it to take you to higher ground. Hallelujah. Amen. God will use that storm to take you where you've never been. Because God didn't forget about them. And God remembered Noah. I'm like some of you. I didn't get saved until I was 16 years old, but I've been going to church 9 months before I was ever born. We didn't discuss it at my house. If you'd have brought it up for discussion, you'd have got slapped so hard you thought the neuter bell cracked again. Amen. I didn't know what I'm talking about. Can you ever imagine asking your mama or dad, we're going to go trick pop? And needless to say, I've heard a lot of messages in my life. And preacher, I used to hear preachers preach about your life can go through a storm, or your church can go through a trial, or your family can go through an affliction, and be stronger and higher with God on the other side of it. And I didn't believe a word of it. I thought they were just trying to come up with something sensational to say. Because in my mind, I couldn't figure it out. How's my church going to go through a subtraction and wind up with a multiplication? I may be dumb, but I ain't stupid, Andy. How's our church going to be better when it looks like we've lost half of what we got? I said, that man lying, he's just trying to come up with something spiritual to say. You know why I thought that? Because I'd never been through nothing. Our church had never been through anything. Our family had never been through anything. I never had been through much. Oh, but may I say, them old men of God that preached that, right. They got a right. Your church can go through the most terrible experience imaginable and come out on the other side better. If I might use some modern vernacular, been there and done that. Your family can go through a crisis and be better on the other side. You can take a few trips to the hospital and a few trips to here and a few trips to there and come out on the other side with more confidence in God, less confidence in you. Oh, the problem is most of us got more confidence in us than we got confidence in God. And I'll tell you what now, you better listen to this little preacher boy. God has shared His grace, His mercy, His love, His power, His anointing, His unction, but He will not share His glory. And so God comes by and says, okay, I need to fix you. I need to get you to get rid of you and get more of me. Bam! And here comes a storm. And we're in that sea. And son, we're tossed topsy-turvy. Oh, God, what's going on? Lord, I'm going to die. This thing's going to kill me. Glory to God, about that time the dove will fly by. Amen. Hallelujah. With an olive branch. And he'll say, everything's all right. Everything's all right. And then God will say, look up, son. And from cloud to cloud, you see a rainbow. And God said, I didn't forget you. I didn't just... Hallelujah. He is a God who will remember. And you hear me tonight. I don't know where you're at. I don't know what you're going through. But take courage. He will remember. He'll remember those who are weary from the storm. Man, I got to hurry. Psalm 78. Listen to this tonight. Psalm 78, verse 38 and 39. But he being full of compassion. Forget, boy, I got wrote down holler, amen, right here. Amen, right here. And he being full of... Holly, a man can't preach around here. You ought to just turn his papers in. That's all I got to say. But he being full of compassion forgave their iniquity and destroyed them yacht. Yea, many a time. Woo! Woo! Glory! Turned he his anger away and did not stir up all his wrath. Why? For he remembered that they were but flesh. He not only remembers those who are weary from the storm. Number two, he remembers those who are weakened by the flesh. You said, well, I've made some mistakes and I've fallen down and I fell along the way. Take a number and get in line. Failure may be final with the brethren. Failure may be final with the local ministerial assassination. But failure is not final with the Father. You know what Psalm 78 is? It's a psalm of remembrance. They're going down Rumors Lane and they're remembering that 40-year wilderness journey from the banks of the Red Sea to the banks of the Jordan. And as they look back over that 40 years, they were reminded they were pretty messed up at times. They griped, whined, grumbled. They must have been independent fundamental, putting on how I hate everybody Baptist. Belly ached. And one passage said, tempted God, spake against God, doubted God, questioned God. And you say, what did God do with that outfit? Fed them anyhow. Gave them water anyhow. You say, well, I don't understand how God could bless people like that. Oh, you don't? Well, let me ask you this. Why is he still hanging around your place? You say, God loves me and God's blessed me because I've been faithful. You cripple do have for crutches. I don't understand why they could get so ugly and get so bad and God would still love them and God would still... I'm trying to tell you. He remembered. That they... He remembered that they were but flesh. Listen, I'm not glorifying the flesh. I'm not glorifying failing. I'm not glorifying carnality, but I'm here to tell you when you've done your best and it still ain't good enough, he don't throw the he don't throw the clay away. He don't write you out. He don't kick you out. He remembers that you're just flesh and you need him and you're alive. I have never heard in my life so much bragging on the flesh than I've heard around fundamental Baptists. By the time we get through preaching, bless God, we make it sound like our socks don't even stink. I said to Billy Kelly before he died, I said, Brother Billy, I said, as holy as some of these preachers act, they act like they're so holy, they don't even kiss their wife. He said, that bird don't. He kisses everybody else's wife. Say amen right there. I was in a camp meeting a while back when they preached against television, and at the end of the camp meeting sold videos of the services. If I shoot my TV, I can't buy the video. Woo! And they've got this formula. They got this man-made formula. If I don't, and if I do this, and do that, maybe I can find myself in a realm where God will be pleased to bless me. Come here a minute. If God ever does one thing good for anybody under this tabernacle, starting with me, you or me, we'll have one thing to do with it. I've heard people say, I'll tell you right now, boy, God will bless you if you serve Him. Yeah, but I'll tell you something. God will bless you sometimes when you don't serve Him. I'll tell you right now, glory to God. Amen. I've been faithful. And because of that, God's blessed me. No, God's not blessed you because you've been good and you've been faithful. He's blessed you because He's sovereign, and He's faithful, and He's worthy, and He's good. That's why God's been good to you. That's why God's been good to you. I don't want to make you feel bad tonight. But it ain't because of you. You got what you got. Now, before you leave this tabernacle and go telling stuff on me ain't so, I did not say living wrong is right. And God won't make you live for Him. He'll make you wish you had Him. But if you're looking to your obedience and your faithfulness and your goodness to bring you God's blessings, you're looking in the wrong place. God does bless obedience, and God does bless living right. But I want to tell you something. At your best, we're just flesh. Oh, dear God, but He loves me anyhow. He blesses me anyhow. When I'm sad, He loves me. When I'm bad, He loves me. Listen, somebody said, read your Bible and God will bless you. There's many times you stuck up on me when I hadn't even read my Bible. Someone said, boy, if you pray all night long, God will bless you. Son, there's been times God invaded my life and I hadn't prayed at all. See, I can preach this here and get by with it, but you ought to see some of these places where I'll go where I preach that. Oh, see, it really bothers fundamentalists when they can't produce it in the flesh. That really tires their nerves up. You preachers, maybe pastors especially, will know what I'm talking about. You ever been in your office or your study or wherever you're on Saturday night and, boy, you're getting this fault? And some fool, you know it, you got you one more of a sermon. I didn't say a message. I said sermon. There is a difference. I preached a bunch of sermons and very few messages. A sermon comes from the mind of the preacher. A message comes from the heart of God. Woo! And one of God's messages is better than a million of my sermons. Because I've had some sermons God wouldn't in 40 miles up. See, I just tell it all on me. I know it ain't none of y'all. No, it ain't nobody. I'm talking about me. Boy, I'm in that office and I'm thinking, this is something right here. This is a barn burner. Buddy, when I preach this tomorrow, the paint will peel off the wall. The carpet will roll up. They'll be standing and applauding. There'll be so many people coming to God to be saved, I'll have to have 25 altar workers. And I go to bed that night, I can't even sleep because I can't hardly wait to see what I got to say myself. And somewhere between my house and the pulpit. Come on now, have you ever just... I don't mean the worst sermon you ever preached. I mean the worst sermon anybody in the world has ever preached. I mean worse than striking out. I mean not even showing up. And there is no feeling any more sickening than failing in the pulpit. Bombing out, gomming around. And you know it. And what's the... Yeah, you're right. They do too. They just love you enough not to remind you. Man, you walk out of the pulpit and you're thinking, I'm quitting. Man, can't preach no better than that right there. Ain't got no business being preached. Probably ain't even been called. Can't hardly eat your lunch because you're so sick. You're ill at the young'uns. And then you made you got your wife mad because you asked her how'd they do? And she was honest and said, rotten. Then you got mad at her. Can I say this to you pastors' wives tonight? Your only duty in life is to just say you did great, baby. And if you have to stretch a little bit, God will forgive you. He don't want you to be honest. Huh? Sis, when he says to you, did I do all right? Don't be honest with him. Just say, oh, baby. I was preaching up there for Brother Daggett Hart, and I'll tell you one thing. That bunch of prayer just tell you how it is. And I did. I gommed around. I struck out some bad pitiful. And I went up to Brother Rule Fox. Now, I'll know better and say something to one of them old wise fellers. I said, Brother Rule, I struck out, didn't I? You know what the man said? He said, well, boy, I'm just going to be honest with you. If you don't ever win another race, you're still my horse. That really helped me. That really encouraged me. I got that letter a while back where they're going to have that service up there and honor him. I wrote him a nice letter. Bragged on a little bit. I said, and by the way, this is from your horse. I said to my wife the other day that he called me that. She said, well, you act like one sometimes. I said, now stop it. Boy, I mean, you just struck out. Well, about 3 or 4 o'clock, it dawns on you. I got to go back up there again tonight. And you don't even want to go back. And if you wasn't a pastor, you wouldn't. You'd go by your office and read your Bible and say, well, here's a verse. I'll just try this. What I had this morning, what I worked on 3 days, didn't work. Let me just try that. Boy, you're sitting there doing the singing going, oh, I hope it gets on. Somebody shout. Somebody testify. And of all the times you want to get on, it won't happen then. And finally, it's your time. You get up out of that little old verse, little old thought, and you're thinking, well, we ain't going to be here long tonight. I mean, this I ain't even got no points. It ain't even alliterated. How in the world are you going to preach with God on you? It ain't even alliterated. So you just get up there and open the Bible and start reading the verse. And then... somebody opens the window. Woo! Ah, glory to God. And a breeze begins to blow. Hallelujah. And listen, young preacher, listen. And God lifts you out of yourself. And God takes you beyond yourself. And He lets you preach in another country. Hallelujah. And God moves. You know what God is saying? You still need me. You still need me. Boy, it ain't you. It's me. And God remembers. Hello. I got a call a couple of years back from a preacher on Sunday night. He said, Brother Joe, you're supposed to preach me tomorrow. He said, the Holy Ghost just told me to call you and tell you, don't come tomorrow. Come Tuesday. I said, well, I got to change the earth. He said, don't you change what you got to change. He said, Holy Ghost told me to tell you, stay home tomorrow. Well, you ain't got to threaten me with a day off. And I thought, boy, it's going to be good. God opening a day like this. Amen. Got up that morning, about 12 o'clock. Me and my wife got in an argument. I thought, that preacher missed the will of God. Oh, I'm going to. I'm going to preach right here to somebody on this pew gets right with God. And to be honest with you, we just got in an argument. Yeah. I got mad. She got mad. Yeah. I'm going to move over here again. I believe by telling the decent people I got tonight, it's in this middle section right here. We just fussed. I just got in a fuss. And I mean just fussed about all evening about it. I got all mad about it, and she got all mad about it. A day off. I mean, one day off in months. And we got a fuss. And for all you couples who never have any discrepancies, pray for the rest of us. Let me say something else. You older men that married them old-fashioned submissive women, there ain't no more of them left. Am I telling it right? Brother, you live with... We love you, brother. God bless you. And I mean, it's just an old-fashioned fuss. Well, come time for the kids to go to bed. And I said, well, I'll put the kids to bed tonight since I'm home. You know, I don't never get to do that. Like that was real special. One night out of 365, that's great, ain't it? I felt proud of myself. I put them to bed. Well, I walked in my son's room, and old Bubba, he was crying. And I didn't like Bubba. Bubba's tough, you know, big redneck boy. I said, Bubba, what's wrong with you? I said, now, son, I ain't leaving this room till you tell me what's wrong with you. You better start right now. I said, now, Bubba, I'm going to tell you something. I ain't leaving till you open up and talk to your daddy. What's wrong with you, boy? He said, Daddy, I need a Bible reason that I know I'm saved. He said, Daddy, you a good man. You a good preacher. But, Dad, I need to know from the Bible. I said, Bubba, are you trying to tell me you under conviction? He said, yeah. I said, you want me saved? He said, oh. And he already knew what to do. I said, let's talk to him. Boy, he started confessing, and he started a begging and a repenting. He done it all. And I knew he got the goods when he said this. And Lord, if my sister ain't saved, save her. And when a little boy wants his sister to get saved, he's got the goods. Boy, a dose of salvation hit that boy. I seen it come over his face. That burden lifted. He said, oh, I said, go on down and tell your mama. He said, Daddy, you go now and tell and y'all come back in here together. What are you going to do when your little boy just stepped out of darkness into light? So I sent it on into the bedroom, and I said, "Sister, peace, I come in the name of the Lord. Before you start into me again, I want to just say," I said, "Mom, I said, little Bubba just got saved over a while ago." Boy, she got to crying, I got to crying, and we got to kissing. I thought about asking Bubba to get saved again the other night, but, you know, we're a Baptist, and it don't happen but once. Son, we both went in that bedroom. We got to slobbering. I like it. That's what I like about this church. One goes to the altar, somebody's going to go down and slobber with them. I like that. That's a whole lot better than some places I've been. Somebody can go to the altar, and everybody go, "What have I been down that for?" Well, we had a jubilee that night. And I said, all that, and I'm not just trying to tell you my family secrets, but I'm trying to help you. I wish I could tell you that my boy got saved that night. Me and his mother was fasting and praying and reading the Word of God. And we got so much God on us, it just flowed to the other room. It didn't happen that way. We wasn't in fellowship with God nor one another. But, woo! But God said, "They don't deserve it, but I'm stepping into their world." Brother, I mean to tell you tonight, if God don't step in your world when you least deserve it, you won't get much. But I'm glad He don't forget. He don't forget. He remembers those that's been weakened by the flesh. Another preacher called me the other night criticizing another preacher, and I don't like that. I don't like that. He said, "I'm going to tell you right now, Opera." He said, "So-and-so's got a flesh problem." I said, "Brother, so do you. And so do I." Preacher, I love you. And I hope you love me. But there's something wrong with me and you both. Carl, I love you. But you got something wrong with you. Ask me, I know about it. We know enough about each other to put both of us out of the ministry. I love Brother Earl back there, one of the best men of God in this part of the country. But you got a problem somewhere. And you know where it's at? It's that old wicked flesh. It don't want to do right. It hates God, hates the Holy Ghost, hates holiness, hates righteousness. Resists the moving of God in our lives. But boy, I'm glad God remembers. Oh, He don't excuse our disobedience, and He don't excuse our sin. But I'm glad 1 John 1:9 is in the Bible, that when we confess it, He's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us. I tell you, He will remember those that are weary from the storm, those who are weakened by the flesh. Number 3, and I'm done, I think. Luke chapter number 23. Now you know when you are when you come to Luke 23? You're at Calvary. You know why I like to go to Calvary? Because, honey, that's where the ground's level. That's where the prince and the pauper stands on the same level. And as we approach Calvary, preacher, I see 3 crosses on the crest of the hill. Now, I don't know who that is on the left. And I don't know who that is on the right. Oh, but dear God, yeah, boy, the one in the middle, I know who he is. From a distance, I know who he is. You know why? Because he's in his rightful place, the midst. The Bible said there were 2 malefactors that day, and Jesus in the midst. That's where he always has been. Psalm 42, God is in the midst of thee. He walked in the midst of the fiery furnace. Where 2 or 3 are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst. He walks in the midst of the golden candlesticks. And John saw him in the glory world, and he said, in the midst of the 24, he's always been in the midst. Hallelujah. Now he's dying in the midst between two thieves. On this side of the cross, I see that old thief as he turns his head, and one breath from hell makes this statement. If you be the... What do you mean if? There ain't no if about it. If you be the Christ, if, save yourself and us. And you hear me tonight, he was not interested on whether Jesus was the Christ or not. He just wanted his hide saved from that cross. The King James Bible uses an old word, rail. The Bible said he railed on him. Listen, he's a heartbeat and a breath from hell, and he's still cussing and accusing and doubting and railing on his only hope. Even death in the grave don't put the fear of God in some people. Because the goodness of God, the Bible said, leads men to repentance. I don't care how much you see hell, how scared you are going there. If you never see the goodness of God at Calvary, you ain't going to be saved. You ain't going to want to be saved. But oh, dear God, if you whoo, if you ever hear the ringing of the hammer, if you ever feel the dripping of the blood, if you ever sense the pathos of His voice and see that He died for you, that'll stir your soul toward God. And he said, if you be the Christ, save yourself and us. And I believe that thief is in hell tonight. But wait a minute. As Paul Harvey says, page 2, here's the rest of the story. On the other side, business was a picking up. Now, you got to understand tonight that these men are impaled to a cross. So they can't move their hands or arms or nothing, and all they can do is gesture with their head and their face. And I see that thief on the right side as he lifts up his head. And he looks around there at that other thief and says, hey, don't you fear God? That's what he said to him. Seeing you, we're in the same condemnation. And don't you understand that we, talking about them two thieves, we are receiving the just reward of our deeds. We're getting what we deserve. We've not been framed. We've not been falsely accused. We deserve what we're getting. And I see him as he nods. He says, pointing to Jesus, but this man, has done nothing amiss. Glory to God. I've got a God bump between my shoulder blades about that big right about now. And brother, I see that thief as he turns his head. He don't say, get me off the cross. He didn't start this ifing business. He just says, Lord! You want to get his attention? He goes by the name of Lord. Every passage of salvation in that King James Bible is connected to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Salvation is of the Lord. Lord. And he says, remember me. Remember me. Remember what I said that word meant? Look upon me. Think upon me. Favor me. Respond to me in mercy and grace when I least deserve it. Remember me. Oh, do you remember that night when the Holy Ghost revealed to you just how bad a shape you was in? And you was impaled to your own cross of unbelief and ungodliness. And you, like those thieves, was one heartbeat and one breath from hell. Oh, God. You said, Lord,
remember me. You know what he said? Remember me. And he didn't use the word if. He said when. Can I just tell you, he's not the if God. He's the when God. Woo! Remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Can I lay something heavy on you? You're not going to ask somebody to remember you when they come into their kingdom if you don't believe they got one. And if you've got enough sense, bless God, to believe they got a kingdom, then you've got to have enough to believe they're a king. This other guy said, if you be. This other guy said, I know you are. I know you are. You got a kingdom. You're the king. And in a little while, you're going to get in it. And when you go, I want to go too. Remember me. Oh my God, do you remember that night when you said, remember me. Something like the blind lady who wrote, why don't others not call him? Do not pass me by. Jesus, I believe what the Bible said about you. Oh yes, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. You are the King of kings and the Lord of lords. Remember me. God, I want to go too. Son, aren't you glad one night the Holy Ghost created a desire in you to want to know who God is? Son, here's the guy on this side. Ain't interested in one bit. But here's the guy on the ghost of bad. The last thing he said before he died, remember me. Now listen. Not only do I like what the Lord says, I like what he don't say. And he didn't say, you old thief, you old low-down thief, forget it. By your own admission, you just admit it, you're getting what you deserve. Boy, I'm glad he didn't say that. Tell you something else he didn't say. He didn't remind him he was a criminal. He didn't even call him a thief. He didn't even bring up anything he'd ever done. You know what he said? Remember me, Jesus said. Now that thing's over there going, when thou comest, sometime out there in the future, whenever it happens, I want you to do it, and I want to go with you. When? Jesus said, we ain't in the when mode, bless God, it's today. We're going to do that today, boy. You know why? Today is the day of salvation, and now! You look up at me a minute. That pool, if they got in it, it didn't matter who got in it. It was whosoever. It cleansed of whatsoever. But it wasn't whensoever. It was whosoever, it was whatsoever, but it was not whensoever. That water had to be troubled. Dear God Almighty, I remember the night. Oh boy. Whoop! When it's whosoever got saved from whatsoever. Woo! You know what this atmosphere is tonight? I believe it's one of them wind atmospheres. When God's a working. When God's a moving. I'm telling you tonight, if you're here, I just got a feeling in my soul, you can get in today. Jesus pulls himself upon it. Says, today, thou shalt, oh glory, with me. Oh glory to God, young, as it ain't that to go to... It ain't that thing. Hallelujah. Amen. Have you ever had something to say was so big you was having a problem getting? Well, glory. I can feel it, but I can't tell it. It wasn't that he got to go to paradise. It's who he got to go with that was so good. Woo! Hallelujah. Amen. Now, glory to God. Yeah, I'm glad I'm going to heaven someday, but I'm real glad about who's going to be there, bless God, when I get there. I'm going with Him. Today thou shalt be with me in paradise. That's all He said. He didn't say pull yourself off the cross, or you pull one nail out and I'll pull another one out and meet you halfway. Remember me, okay, today. Thou shalt be with me in paradise. Now listen, I didn't come to argue with you, but I'm just going to preach what I believe. I believe the Lord died first. Because if He didn't, them thieves would have never got to die. Because you can't die around resurrection. And according to the Bible I've read, you can't even stay dead around Him. Hey, if somebody died, they died before He got there, because when He got there, they got up again. And so I believe on that cross, the man in the middle said, Father, into Thy hands I commend my spirit. And he gave up the ghost. He was gone, but not forgotten. Woo! And on this side, I see that thief that railed and cussed. And he opened his eyes in hell with that rich man. And he's still there tonight, begging for one drop of water. Same place you're going to go, honey, if you reject God. Oh, God, help us. But on that other side, where that thief said, remember me, I believe you, man. Oh, wow. Oh, my. Oh, my. This sure does beat the prison cell. This sure does beat death row. This sure does beat being nailed to a cross. About the time he looks and sees Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Glory. You're beautiful. You sure do look different with that cross and crown gone. Hey, King. Glory, glory, glory. I believe Jesus holds out His hand and said, come on, boy, I told you you're going to be with me. And He gets that old thief by the hand and they start walking down Main Street Paradise. Let me just say, if you don't think the old rugged cross makes the difference, look at that old boy. 1 second, Brother Partain, he's about to go to hell. The next second, he's in paradise with Christ. Yeah, the old rugged cross sure do make the difference. I believe Jesus said, come on, boy, let's take a little tour. Let me introduce you to some of the family you've never met before. Well, there's Abraham and Sarah. Y'all wake up. It's going home time in a little bit. Look at that, boy. That's John the Baptist. Don't he look good with his brand new head? Hey, Noah, did you enjoy that boat ride? Y'all get ready now. We're going home in a little while. And in my mind, I can see somebody's, they say, oh, hey, who's that with the Lord? One of them thieves. One of them thieves? How in the world does a man like that ever wind up in a place like this? And just maybe that thief may have overheard it and he stopped
and pointed to Jesus and said, "He remembered me."
Woo! Somebody said, "Brother, glory to God." Somebody said, "Brother Joe, I hope to see you in glory. It ain't no hope about it. I will be there. And when you see me in my brand new home, and if you ask me, Joe Arthur, how did somebody like you, ever wind up in a place like this?" I'm going to say, "Come here a minute. You see that man up there on that throne? He remembered me." Woo! Can I break out in song? "If someone asks me how I made it, quickly I'll say it. By the blood of the Lamb, I made it through. I know that the Savior is waiting. His sweet face will be the first that I view. If someone asks me how I made it, quickly I'll say it. By the blood of the Lamb, I'm..." Hey, aren't you glad one day, before you went to hell, the sovereign God of the glory world, He remembered you. He remembered you. Those that are weary from the storm, those who are weakened by the flesh, those who are wicked and weeping over their lost condition, He is a God who will remember.